Blog Talk Radio.
Are you concerned with health freedom? Are you interested in alternative health? Tired of the dangerous deceptions that lie within the current North American medical model? Join Mike Phillip and Andrea Brightwell Monday evenings at 8 p.m. Central on the Northern Wellness TV network for an open discussion on health freedom and strategies to optimize your health. Listen and interact as we interview guests from across the spectrum of alternative medicine and health freedom. Empower yourself and voice your opinion Monday nights at 8 p.m. Central on northernwellness.tv. See you there.
We at Northern Wellness Radio want to hear from you. Join our chat and tell us what you think.
Welcome, everyone, tonight to Northern Wellness Health Radio. Thank you for joining us on, it's nice and where we are in Calgary and in Camrose. Hope it's nice weather for you guys as well. We have a great show tonight with some interesting current events that have popped up in the last few weeks. Hopefully we'll have time for all of them, but if not, we'll give you a kind of a taste for what we're looking to talk to you about tonight. Some of the overview will be part of do heart patients fare better when doctors are away, as well as death rate plummets when doctors go on strike. An interesting article about how painkillers kill more than heroin and cocaine combined. Another interesting article about a doctor was arrested for allegedly taking bribes from baby formula makers, as well as why 160 nations have banned a certain growth hormone, and yet the U.S. still uses it. So that's what we're looking at into tonight. We hope you can sit back and enjoy our show, and let's get into it.
Today on The Pulse, our host, Mike Phillip, is uncovering the dangerous deceptions in the current medical model, exposing injustice against health freedom, and giving hope when all people feel is fear. With no further ado, our host, Mike Phillip.
Southern Wellness Blog Talk Radio, Mike Phillip with Andrea Brightwell, and I'm really glad to be here because I'll tell you what, something dark comes this way. We don't have a good situation going on here in North America, and I happen to know for a fact that medically speaking, there is not a good situation going on in Britain, in Australia, in Africa, and all over the world. Now, let's get right into it. You might never heard of this guy, but there's a man named Robert S. Mendelsohn, M.D., and this is back in 1999. He wrote a book called Confessions of a Medical Heretic. I'm going to read you a quote from Dr. Mendelsohn. He says, this is back in 1979, okay? He says, I no longer believe in modern medicine. I believe that despite all the super technology and elite bedside manner that's supposed to make you feel about as well cared for as an astronaut on the way to the moon, the greatest danger to your health is the doctor who practices modern medicine, Robert S. Mendelsohn, M.D. Interesting statement, right? I mean, it's all about appearances. It's all about shows. It's all about making you feel like you're being cared for. As Karl Rove once said, perception is reality. I'm going to read you a quote from Dr. Mendelsohn. How truly deadly the church of modern medicine comes into stark relief whenever there's a doctor strike. In 1976 in Bogota, Colombia, there was a 52-day period in which doctors disappeared altogether except for emergency care. The National Catholic Reporter described a string of unusual side effects. Side effects include, right? From the strike, the death rate went down 35%. 35%. A spokesman for the National Morticians Association said, it might be a coincidence, but it's a fact. And you know what? Those guys were probably lobbying hard for the doctors to get back to work. I mean, if you're a mortician and the local doctors quit working and the death rate goes down 35%, you got to look on a spreadsheet. That's probably, it's big dollars, right?
Yeah, that's not good for business.
No, it's not. Glad to hear you, Andrea. So guess what, though? In 1973, it happened in Israel. The death rate dropped by 50% during the month of the doctor's strike. He also tells about an 18% drop in the death rate in 1976 when doctors went on strike in Los Angeles County. And then after the strike, the death rate returned to pre-strike levels. Now, this is interesting because we got some hard numbers here. And you got to think that it has something to do with them just doing things that people really did not need in the first place, or doing things, dare I say, dangerously. It's not hard to believe stats like that if you read news items that tell us medical mistakes and infections cause 200,000 deaths a year in the U.S. And this is coming from AmazingHealth.com, relinked. Okay, so I'm guessing that that figure is seriously lowballing. 200,000, you know, if you look at medical mistakes and infections, then you got to think about wrong prescriptions, or you got to think about people taking prescriptions and going to a different doctor and getting a different prescription, or, you know, there's another drug involved like alcohol or whatever the case might be, and, you know, people are mixing things at home. And you know, not because they want to get all messed up or anything, but because they're just living their daily life the way that they do, and they end up taking this new prescription that they got, and guess what? You know, so, I don't know. What do you think of that, Andrea?
Well, you know, I think the FDA, whenever they approve a drug, it's, you know, they can give you the, you know, side effects and what could happen, but as soon as you add another drug or Tylenol or anything else, they have no control or understanding of what happens when those chemical drugs mix. So, yeah, people don't know. The FDA doesn't know. The doctors don't know. So to say that there's these, you know, incidental and accidents that when doctors are there, bad things happen, well, yeah. I mean, it's not hard to
grasp. The numbers don't lie, right?
No.
Yeah. There's an old joke that if you're going to have a heart attack, the safest place would be at a big national gathering of heart specialists. But that's not a joke to me. How about you don't have the heart attack, right? I mean, if you die in the middle of a pile of doctors, you're still dead. Well, the Associated Press, listen to this. This is corroborating evidence for what I was just talking about, okay? New study suggests that older hospitalized heart patients may fare better when these doctors aren't around. Survival chances were better for cardiac arrest patients and for the sickest heart failure patients if they were treated at teaching hospitals. So students did a better job than the actual professionals during the two biggest national cardiology meetings compared with those treated and after the meetings. What's going on there? Also, some of the sickest heart attack patients got fewer invasive procedures during the meeting days versus those treated at other times. But that didn't hurt their odds of surviving, the 9-year study found. The findings were only at teaching hospitals, typically affiliated with medical schools and involved in doctor training and sometimes research. These are the workplaces for many doctors who attend major medical meetings. No differences were seen in death rates at non-teaching hospitals. The evidence is only circumstantial, and the study lacks information on whether patients' own doctors actually attended the meetings. So I'm going to stop right there. And I would like to point out to you that this information jives with every other time in history when they were separate from the situation, but the Associated Press has to turn it around. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good example of how we're lied to. We're shown this medical model, and, you know, just like Dr. Mendelsohn said, we've got all these, you know, they'll put a bunch of blinky lights around you. Have you ever looked at a, you know, a dialysis machine? I mean, how big is a kidney? Like the size of your fist, maybe smaller? A dialysis machine would take up a whole closet, right? So the best that modern medical science can do can't even come close to what a fully operating kidney that you grew yourself can do. You know, and this stuff happens all the time. Do you run into a lot of stories of people dying in your neighborhood and community as a result of medical treatments, Andrea?
Yeah, I actually ran across a friend. He was living in Vietnam, and his dad was in Canada, had surgery. Something happened as far as afterwards, post-op and an infection, and he died. And so his son had to fly home, didn't even get to say goodbye to his dad. And there's no lawsuit, there's no repercussions, there's nothing. And it's sad because people don't think there is anything they can do, but they should. This shouldn't be allowed to continue to go on. And so when you hear statistics like when they're away, less people die, well, there's a clue that just stop going to the hospitals if you don't have to.
Yeah, but they'll do a bunch of mental gymnastics to try and jump around and make it look like what they do is legitimate. And, you know, there's times when they are legitimate. I mean, if you got a bullet in your head, or you get your head run over, or if you fall on your head off a cliff, you know, something happens. You need a doctor. You really do. And they're good at that. But, you know, they've got to stick to this whole, no, we're it. You have to come to us. And a lot of times it just goes awry. And I've got another example of that here. And don't get me wrong, people. I'm not just busting on doctors for no reason. The fact is the medical model is bankrupting our society and killing people. They're dying. Like, I don't know what to say. I talk to a lot of people on a regular basis about this. And I see a general interest, but I see a very low percentage of people that actually want to take real information in their hands and do something about it. Otherwise, they want to go watch The Food Babe or Mike, whatever. So I'm going to quote an article from Patriot Rising here. Okay, and you're going to hear me quoting a lot from alternative media because I do not trust mainstream media. In fact, it gives me a headache. When me and my wife get up in the morning and watch global news, it's like we're like, okay, what's the story's going to be? We're pouring our coffee, right? It's like, what are we going to watch here? It's going to be ISIS, Charlie Hebdo. You know, like you can predict the news. Like this is the only thing that happened on a planet of 7 billion people. You know, something happened in France and something's happened in Syria and blah, 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 blah. And they gloss over the rest. But in fact, there's a lot going around you in your own neighborhood, and that's what you need to pay attention to. So without further pontificating, article in Patriot Rising, listen to this headline. Painkillers kill more than heroin and cocaine combined. So next time you're out and about and you see a drug addict and they're begging for money, they're no different than the person walking into the hospital with the prescription that's going down the same road. Yes, prescription painkillers do in fact take more lives per year than two of the hardest hitting illegal drugs in the nation. They're talking about the United States, and we're in Canada, but it's the same thing here. Surpassing cocaine in their total related deaths. So the scumbag driving around in the SUV with the spinners, he's no different than a doctor. He's probably making just as good of money. You just have to look over his shoulder a lot more.
Yeah,
it has to do with how these prescription pharmaceuticals work in the brain and how individuals around the country are easily acquiring them to feed their deadly habits. Because after all, who said legal drugs were all that different from illegal drugs in many cases? Well, they're not, and here's the reason. Drugs are synthesized from herbology, okay? Drugs are synthesized from herbology. So I guess the only difference, you could think of it this way, between a street drug and something that, you know, quote unquote, legally handed to you over the pharmaceutical counter is that, you know, there's no regulations. But as we covered in that story last week, they were putting out vaccinations that were basically put together in a lab in a toilet bowl, right? So how many people died? What was it, like 69, Andrea?
Well, 64, but over like 750 had.
64, okay.
Yeah.
Right, right. So, are you ready to give me a big weird number one?
Well, we are.
Okay.
If you're not listening, you're not listening.
The United States and Canada are number one. And two, we're number two also, respectively, per capita when it comes to opioid painkiller consumption. And, you know, that's not just, we're talking about OxyContin or, you know, as it's known among the upper class, hillbilly heroin. In just 2010, there were over 16,000 deaths resulting from painkiller use within the United States, 16,000 deaths. And that's lowballing, I guarantee you, because a lot of these guys, when they found them, they probably, it was in an alley and they swept them into a bin or something, right? Individuals addicted to and abusing painkillers often take large doses to feel a more euphoric effect. Such large doses can stop breathing, resulting in death. Well, it's a synthetic opioid. It's heroin in a pill. And that's what people need to understand. Well, a lot of times they do understand. They just do it anyways. But here's my point, is that it's being prescribed to people. And at the same time, you know, if you were walking down the street with this same drug in your pocket and, you know, you got pulled over for whatever, you go to jail. Because it's deadly and it hurts people, and that's why they frame the legislation that way. But at the same time, as somebody's getting, you know, watch your head, hauled into the back of a police car on one side of town, on the other side of town, somebody's grandma is grabbing a bag of it from their pharmacist over the counter and exchanging pleasantries, right? So according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, a whopping 12 million individuals were found to be using painkillers without a valid prescription. Now, you remember what I said about them lowballing the death stats earlier, right?
Yeah, exactly.
12 million. Many of these 12 million people are simply taking them to get high. Add on to this statistics that around half of all deaths from painkillers also involve another drug. You remember I was talking about that earlier, like alcohol or another pharmaceutical, and it's easy to see that there's serious, serious problems. And so this doesn't just affect, you know, your stereotypical drug addict. This affects a lot of people. So, and you know, the drug dealers are putting out the cocaine and the heroin. Meanwhile, your more professional-looking types with the white coats and stethoscopes and paper on the wall are putting this stuff on the street. And what happens is people run into rough financial situations, and so they'll turn around and take their prescription and get it and sell it on the street because our current medical model has devastated the economy. So that's one byproduct of the whole, you know, the whole deal. So
yeah,
it's easy to see that the statistics are really here to back up the severity of the issue. One of the team research on the project from McGill University in Montreal said prescription painkiller overdoses have received a lot of attention in editorials and popular press, but we wanted to find out what solid evidence is out there. And those guys took and they put the numbers together, and the fact was that the street drugs weren't killing hardly as many people as the prescriptions.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Andrea?
Well, I think it's interesting. What I got from this article was actually a personal story. My husband had surgery and was in a lot of pain, so he was hospitalized, and they gave him a drug that's like 10 times stronger than morphine. It's called Hydromorph. And the doctors never told him the side effects of it or how hard it would be to even detox off of this painkiller because it was so potent and so powerful. It was just, oh, we'll put this prescription in, the nurse will bring it, you're good to go. And it took him almost 4 weeks to wean off of the drugs, like half a milligram at a time. And he said that, you know, the withdrawal symptoms was like he was coming off of like what heroin would be like or cocaine. And like you said, and this is the, you know, the nice professional doctor in his white coat, but they're not even informing, you know, people about the side effects of these drugs. Do they care? Do they know? I don't know. But, you know, as the people who are taking them, we're the ones suffering. And like you see here now, people are dying because of it. And so it's up to us. We have to be informed. We have to, you know, take the knowledge onto ourselves to know what's being given to us and be careful. Just if it's not grown on in the ground, don't, to me, my preference is just don't take it if it's not natural.
I can't argue with anything that you just said, but you know, there are some drugs that when they're used right, they have their place. Right. So, I mean, we can't diss all of them, but at the same time, this business of throwing drug after drug after drug at everything, you know, we see the results, a whole lot of deaths. So we are going to take some calls in a bit here. The call in number is 347-989, 8242. I'm going to repeat that again, 347 989-8242. Now, there's a lot of people running around worrying a whole lot about Monsanto and vaccines and what's all the fuss. Well, we've got a clip from an article that RT ran, and we want to play that for you. Let's roll that clip.
Unleaving Microsoft, Bill Gates bought $23 million of Monsanto shares. Globally, he now promotes GMOs and a vaccines collection he calls the solution for the world. Gates has been recorded explaining this solution is actually to cut the world's population.
Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
The density in the poor areas is greater than they can grow the food. The benefits there in terms of reducing the population growth.
The only vaccines that reduce the population, notes the site Prison Planet, are ones that sterilize people. The BBC says his foundation's funding big sterilization programs such as this one that blasts men's scrotums with ultrasound to damage the sperm. Here Gates actually calls for the so-called death panel to decide whether folks should live or whether, as he puts it, they have no benefit whatsoever.
And a lack of willingness to say, you know, is spending $1 million on that last 3 months of life for that patient, would it be better to see which ones actually have no benefit whatsoever? But that's called the death panel, and you're not supposed to have that discussion.
Anthony Gates actually brags he's doing God's work. The boss of Goldman Sachs said exactly the same thing while sending millions into starvation. What the heck is going on?
His father was one of the main grandfathers of the whole entire eugenics movement here inside the United States. And it's still going strong today.
My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. And it was very controversial.
And Bill Gates is here once again pushing the GMOs and everything else. That is also reducing the population, because that's what he says. If we do a good enough job with vaccinations and everything, we'll be able to reduce the population. The polio vaccines now are the number one cause of polio. There's no question that Bill Gates is not doing God's work. And if he is doing God's work, I would ask, which God?
Yeah, how have we moved to open plans to take away our water, hoarding food, and population controls?
They speak to us as if we are peon peasants in medieval times, and they are the kings, queens, and nobles. Why did they target the low-income portion?
Yeah, May 25th, over 2 million people across 48 states and 6 continents marched against Monsanto. What do you make of the company refusing to talk to us because we covered the march?
They can't stand up to the fact. They wouldn't come on this show. I would love to debate a Monsanto employee and show them that email. I mean, what would they say? They have nothing. They go into these poor communities, and then, of course, reduced yield. So what happens to these farmers? They end up killing themselves by drinking the biopesticides that Monsanto gave them. So every 30 minutes, while we've been talking, someone has killed themselves.
Execs now boast about infertility from GMOs, hoard food, and say water shouldn't be a human right. Monsanto has publicly stated it wants to control 100% of the world's food supply. The government isn't stopping them, so who will? This is the Truth Seeker.
That's an interesting article or a soundbite, Mike.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Like, you know, holy mad scientist level. Like, what? What did you just say? You know, it's crazy. But that's the world that we live in, right?
Yeah, I just think it's funny that, like, Bill Gates, you know, the computer guy, is now pushing GMO. Like, why is this even in his, like, frame of reference? Why is he promoting something?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, that little twerp with the bad haircut, you know,
pocket
he
protector.
Sees himself as, you know, Conan sitting on a pile of skulls.
Well, it's depressing. I hate Monsanto. I'll be the first to say it, and I will not be the last time you hear me say it.
So apparently I gave the wrong phone number earlier. The call-in line is 347-426-3726. Once again, 347-426-3726. So call in and let us know what is on your mind. If it's anything to do with health, freedom, or, you know, anything. Say you recovered miraculously from something that, you know, everything your whole life told you you'd never get out of, and CNN said that it's a big problem and nobody's getting any better, that you beat it. I want you to call in and tell us about it. And you know what? We're going to have a 1-800 number soon. But for now, you got 347-426-3726. So, Andrea, you were just going off about Monsanto. You've got some articles you want to talk about. Why don't you cut right into that right now?
Do I go off on Monsanto? I think I do, don't I? I'm like, really? I really hate them. No, there's this interesting article.
You're like a broken record.
I know. But it keeps coming up in the news. You go to different websites and you see every time GMO, Monsanto, they're, you know, takeover of the world. Anyways, there's this new article on the Natural Science or NaturalSociety.com, and it's actually about Chuck Norris calls out Monsanto for killing food supply. Now, it says Chuck Norris has a special roundhouse kick for Monsanto's name on it. Today, he has released a detailed article speaking out against Monsanto's complete dissemination of the food supply. From their health-crushing Roundup herbicide to their rampant genetically modified seeds that have infiltrated staple crops like corn, soy, and beets. In the piece entitled Chuck Norris Raises Red Flag Over Monsanto and featured on WorldNet Daily, Norris speaks out plainly against the destructive force of Monsanto. Oh, he's like speaking my language. Specifically, Norris highlights Monsanto's use of glyphosate used in Roundup and its effects. Now, I'll quote, Monsanto began marketing glyphosate under the Roundup name in the 1970s, and it quickly became an industry standard. In 1997, its use tripled with the introduction of Monsanto's Roundup-ready crops planting genetically modified to withstand glyphosate in order to enable farmers to use more of the herbicide in killing crop-threatening weeds. Glyphosate is sprayed on most of the corn and soybeans crops in the United States, as well as over sugar beets, canola, and other crops. This is a huge amount of the food that, you know, United States and Canada that we eat. A lot of the products, the processed foods that we get, it comes from this stuff. Hey, Mike? Like, it's in everything. Anyways, the article continues to say, in 2007 alone, the agricultural sector applied between 180 million and 185 million pounds of glyphosate in crops in this country. The home and garden sector applied 5 million to 8 million pounds, and industry, commerce, and government applied 13 to 15 million pounds of glyphosate, just pounds of chemicals on the food that we're eating. It was the most widely used herbicide in U.S. agriculture and second most widely used herbicide in the home and garden sector. Doesn't this blow your mind that we're just pouring on this chemical glyphosate on our food? The article goes on to say that the only real way to have of knowing whether glyphosate traces or residue is in the food you eat is if you grow it yourself or only buy products that are certified organic. Now, the EPA promised a completed preliminary risk assessment of glyphosate on the end of the last year. And it's an amazing thing when public figures speak out plainly against Monsanto because it shows just how far we have come in regards to spreading the word about Monsanto's many attempts to root out independent farmers and dominate our food supply. It shows how grassroots action and our campaign to spread the word nationwide is really quite effective. So hats off to Chuck Norris for his latest article. I think it's quite interesting when it comes to Monsanto because they really are a bully when it comes to the food supply. And you know, there's a quote that whoever controls the seed controls everything. And if we give this power over to companies like Monsanto, you know, even if you go to their website and look up, you know, if they've ever done any long-term testing on humans, on animals, they see absolutely no need to. They don't. There isn't any testing to see the long-term effects of, you know, these herbicides like glyphosate. And yet there was this report released back in September of 2004, and it's showing pretty substantial correlations between, you know, glyphosate introduction into our food system and rise in cancers, obesity, diabetes, lots of different diseases that are affecting, you know, millions of people around the world. But, of course, specifically in North America, because we're being inundated with apparently millions of pounds of this stuff. Makes me sick. Mike, what do you think? I don't know if we've lost Mike or if he's still there. Anyways, I digress. I'll continue on. Maybe we'll
can you
take
hear
a short
me now?
Break, actually. I can hear you now. There you go.
I'm back. Okay, so I had a minor microphone malfunction there, but you covered great. So
okay.
I think that Monsanto has really messed up, like, badly, okay? I mean, they've really pissed off Chuck Norris. And if you know anything about Chuck Norris, well, I tell you what, they've messed with the wrong guy. Because Chuck Norris, I mean, I heard it quoted once that the only person that cried when Chuck Norris was born was the doctor, because, like, you never slap Chuck Norris, right? So, but, all the, you know, you've seen the cheesy poster, Chuck Norris facts, right? But no, like, you know, this is a good example of how it's getting into the mainstream and into the nomenclature that these things are wrong. But I would also like to say this, that this, you know, you can't look at the component of the glyphosates and, you know, if you want to get into chemtrailing or whatever, like, there's all kinds of things people are talking about these days. But it always comes back to the fact that people are weak. They've got a weak immune system. They have weak lungs. They have a weak liver. Things are broken down to the point where, you know, they have no defenses. There's no wall around your city. And so when all these poisons and compounds are introduced into the environment and the food and the water supply and the air and the stupidity on TV, you can, you know, like, it all adds up, right? The fact is, you're not in a strengthened state to deal with it. And so
that's
the perfect death trap, but only for idiots.
Yeah, well, that's why I think with the glyphosate, because, you know, glyphosate, we say this word and it's part of Roundup and, you know, people, oh, it's bad, but why? Why is it bad? So what glyphosate does is it disrupts animals and humans, both of us, because we're both, you know, they're eating the feed, we're eating the food. It disrupts us from being able to detoxify xenobiotic, which is this chemical substance. And you find this, you know, xenobiotic in the environment. It's food toxins that we get, like carcinogens. And it causes damage that wouldn't happen if we could detoxify them. So, our bodies are smart. They know how to heal themselves. They know how to, you know, fix themselves. You cut your finger and it heals like it's supposed to. But when you're introducing, you know, foreign chemical substances that now stop the body from being able to do what it's supposed to do, that's when you get the problem. However, your body's still smart. Like we're saying, you know, your body knows how to deal with a lot of stuff. It's pretty smart. So give your body what it needs to be able to, you know, overact to these, you know, chemicals, being able to boost your immune system. So, Mike, what do you take to boost your immune system?
I take 90 essential vitamins, minerals, amino and fatty acids, and a whole pile of other stuff from the Longevity Corporation. And I'll tell you what, since I started doing that, I've recovered from a huge amount of health problems. Like, I'm telling you, it's crazy. It's crazy. I had asthma my whole life, allergies. I was a severely out of control individual for a lot of years. Pacing around like a caged lion, like I had to be doing something else no matter where I was, it wasn't good enough. But when you mineralize your body and you get the right amounts of everything on a consistent daily basis, it changes you. It makes you able to stand up to the pollution of life. So I use, because I just, honestly, there's a lot of good products out there, but in my opinion, Longevity is the best. It's that simple. And so that's what I use for myself, my family, and I've seen miraculous recoveries. And not only that, but I have not seen things crop up. We don't wait around every, you know, year or two to hear that somebody's got Parkinson's or somebody's got cancer or all these things that, you know, every time you go to the family reunion or every time you go to Thanksgiving dinner, you know, everybody's got a new disease. You hear about it every year. And most families, I'll tell you what, mine doesn't talk like that because it doesn't come up with us because we strengthen our bodies with the essential nutrients.
Well, you know what, I take specifically from Longevity products as well. I take their selenium, and I have, you know, a girlfriend of mine, she takes it. And I got one of my friends I've had for like 10 years. We go to spin class together, and I told him, you know, you get sick a lot, start taking selenium. It's very good to support your body's immune system, boost it so your natural immune system is more effective. It increases its ability to work. So he started taking it, and he texted me. He's like, I'm like a flipping superhero now. He's like, I feel like I'm invincible. And people don't know how good they feel. It was the perfect text to get from him of just one mineral, just selenium. And yet there's, you know, more out there that our bodies need. So when you take all of them, oh man, the results are awesome.
They are. And you know what? I had a guy that I deal with on a regular basis. He was up in Edmonton. And he was in a health food store, and, you know, we'd been talking about selenium. And he called me up because the guy that worked at the health food store told him, you know, he asked him, do you guys have any selenium? And, you know, do you know anything about the health benefits? And you know, if you've ever been in your average health food store, you know, or supplement store like Nutter's or any of these other ones, any I've ever been to, GNC, you ask them, you know, I've got this and this and this going on. What would be a good idea? They have no clue. You know what I mean? Yeah. They don't. And it's not their fault. They're just a cashier or a person working in retail. They really don't know a whole lot about supplementation. But when you get involved with what we're doing, we have people that are putting out educational materials all the time. So, you know, if something comes up around my house, I know how to deal with it. Am I a doctor? No. Am I a pharmacist? No. But I'll tell you what, I have a far better success rate now than I did years back before I started looking at the right information. And I'm talking about men like Dr. Peter Glidden, Dr. Joel Wallach, Ben Fuchs, guys like that. They've got it dialed in. Because of them, I've got it dialed in. You know, and I had this guy phone me up the other day. He was in a health food store, and he asked the cashier about selenium. And the guy working there said, well, you know, I heard that a little while ago, this woman, she gave selenium to her husband, and he died. So, like, that was his best, you know, okay, so how old was the guy? How much did he weigh? How much Lucky Charms did he eat every day? No stats or statistics or figures on the case. It was just the guy in the health food store actually discouraged him from taking any kind of selenium. So, obviously, this guy wasn't working on commission. But what it tells me is that there's a lot of ignorance out there, right? You know, because I mean, I know selenium to be one of the best minerals that is out there, but, you know, most people don't. What they're doing is they're practicing what we call fractional nutrition. I need C and I need – no, you need all of them. You need 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino and 2 fatty acids. It is that simple. And so, you know, if you want a list of them, you could probably find that, but it's probably, if you go into a store and try to get everything you say that you could get in a can of Tangy Tangerine, you're going to be spending $1,000 and you're going to be taking 500,000 pills a day. It's that simple.
Yeah.
That's why I stick with longevity.
Yeah, it's easy. That's the thing. It's super easy. It's brain, yeah, anybody can do this. It's not like
nutrition
you have to,
for dummies.
Yeah. Just listen to us. We'll tell you what to take. Are we the dummies then, too?
I got notified that we're supposed to take a break. You want to cut for a break here?
Yeah, we'll take a break, and we'll come back with another article about a certain health growth hormone that's ramped in the United States. So we'll be back in a minute.
Whatever you say, Andrea.
Question or an opinion? Call us at 347-426-3726 to talk to our host, Mike Phillip.
All right, we're back. Thank you so much, everyone. So there's an article that's printed on Natural Society again, and it's entitled Banned in 160 Nations, Why is this Growth Hormone in U.S. Meat? Now, if you're wondering about any of the source material that we're looking up, you can go to our blog, and it's northernwellnessradio.tumblr.com, and you can see all of the articles that we're talking tonight and see the sources of what we're getting our information from. So this article is You May Never Eat Pork Again. Now, as a vegetarian, I don't anyways, but this just kind of reaffirms why I don't.
I'm not Jewish.
Well, that's whatever. We won't get into, we'll get into that.
I'm actually going to eat extra bacon tomorrow morning just to, you know, celebrate that fact. But go on, Andrea.
So it says the fabulous taste of bacon is more popular than ever. Well, I'm sure you can attest to that, Mike. But if you are eating conventionally produced bacon or other pork products, chances are, great, that you are consuming ractopamine. Have you ever heard of this before, ractopamine?
I have not. I'm actually dying to hear more about it from you, Andrea. Go ahead.
The livestock growth altering drug so dangerous that 160 countries around the world have banned its use. But not the U.S., though, where its chemical additive has been given the green light by the FDA, of course, in spite of the fact that it endangers livestock and farm workers as well. Now, I'm going to just play a quick video or a quick audio clip about ractopamine. It's just 30 seconds, so let's listen to that right now.
A group of environmental and public health groups sued the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in federal court on Thursday, seeking to have the court set aside the agency's approvals for various ractopamine products, feed additives used to boost the weight of cattle and pigs. Used for more than a decade in the U.S. agriculture industry to build lean muscle instead of fat, the beta agonist additive has been barred by some major meat importers around the globe, including China.
Yeah, so it says that although the EU and Asia have banned ractopamine, estimates are that 80% of hogs produced in the U.S. and a lesser number of beef and cattle are treated with this drug. In fact, since 2013, Smithfield Foods, a former U.S. company and the world's largest producer of pork products, is now working for China and Russia, producing ractopamine-free pork. So you see that China is now refusing to import any foods that are, you know, treated with this hormone for animals. Of course, some of Smithfield's remaining U.S. plants still spit out ractopamine-laced products for American consumers. So yay for us. But Smithfield refers to these as delivering, quote-unquote, differentiated products to meet customer specifications. Oh, yeah, like we're choosing, right? Like we really want to have this additive in our food. So why the FDA says this growth-altering drug
is
good for
America? What I'd like to know is, like, well,
go ahead,
Mike. China made laws about ractopamine in their pork, but, I mean, you know, What are they putting in the dog, cat, and rat that you eat in China, right?
Well, it says that the use of ractopamine nets pork producers more cash for each hog they sell because it directs nutrients away from the production of fat deposition in favor of production of lean meat, which weighs more, right? Muscle weighs more than fat.
Right.
So since hog producers selling their animals for slaughter are paid by the pound, this adds up. It can put an extra $10 in a producer's pocket for each animal raised, which can translate to an additional $400,000 per year for those running fairly large operations. That's a lot of money, right? So the incentive is not for them to cut it out, but to keep it in. The National Pork Producers Council is a powerful lobby for those who grow hogs. 20 members spending as much as $1.3 million annually during the implementation of ractopamine in pork. It also generally donates to strategic political campaigns. The group's current agenda appears to be getting countries who have banned ractopamine to reverse their ban. Now, it gives this graph. You guys can't see it. But back in 1998, these annual lobbying by the National Pork Producers, they were spending about $0.2 million. Well, in a span of 10 years, they've doubled it. Well, more than doubled it. Now they're now doing $1.2 million. Lobbying with these political campaigns to get this, you know, get countries to stop banning the use of this growth hormone. So we know why it's out there. We know what countries are doing, but why? What are the hazards of ractopamine? So the important thing here is that the feed for both hogs and cattle contains ractopamine right up until it's time for the animals to be slaughtered. There is absolutely no clearance time mandated, as there is with other drugs, so that these chemicals are or can be flushed from the animal's body. And even I remember this, like a little segue. When I was having my kids, the doctors won't put you on morphine if you're so close to delivery because they don't want it to be in the baby once it comes out. You know, they're actually cautious about this. But when it comes to the food, they don't care. They want the results of the traditional clearance time for 2 weeks for drugs in animals used for food were observed, the effects of the ractopamine would be lost as the animals would lose their extra weight gain during the clearance period. As a result, animals fed ractopamine grow to slaughter with maximum amounts of the drug in their bodies. This means that when you eat their meat, you too will contain maximum levels of ractopamine. Does that sound delicious to you?
Well, I haven't tasted any so far, but you know, it makes me want to look for more organic sources of pork, I guess.
Well, ractopamine is a beta agonist class of drugs that in humans binds to beta receptors on cardiac and smooth muscle tissues and creates stimulation. So, for layman terms, this is probably why heart palpitations can follow, you know, the eating of a ham sandwich. I don't know if that's ever happened, but there have been no long-term studies done to assess whether ractopamine is safe or not, and the consequences of long-term human consumption are unknown. And yet this drug was approved by the FDA. Interesting.
Yeah, they're good at approving the right drugs.
Yeah.
You know.
But then it
they are. I mean, they're good at, you know, whoever's got the money and who you know, and you know what I mean, damn society, forget about everybody, and they're just going to put these things out there, you know, because they're not, it goes back to George Orwell, okay, when they say peace, it means war. When they say health, it means sickness and death. So, you know, and that's what, you know, that's why you and me are even here, Andrea, right? Like, there's so many people that are sick and tired of how things are going. And then you have these official agencies that have this, you know, air of legitimacy, or, you know, they operate under color of law to keep you safe. And in the meantime, they're doing that. Everybody's getting worse and worse, right? So, you know, I believe every word you're saying.
Well, I think, you know, when we're discussing these things, there's not a whole lot that I can do individually. I can't go and, you know, shut Monsanto's doors or stop growth hormones from going into animals. I choose not to eat meat, but I know that's not for everybody. But what I do is I just make sure that the food that I am eating, I try to eat as cleanly as possible, as raw as possible. But even doing that, it is impossible to get all of the nutrients your body needs from the food. You have to supplement. And I was never raised, taking my vitamins. Maybe I would take, you know, the Flintstones when they were popular back when I was like 8 years old and I thought they were candy. But people don't realize how important it is to supplement because it's impossible to get it from our food. There's no way we can do it. And so if you're going to supplement, at least do it with, you know, a quality product, something that's going to give you everything, and something it's easy, it's not complicated. And when we're talking about, you know, 90 for life, that's easy. You get a pack, it tells you what to take, and you get everything. And at least then you're getting the nutrients, the minerals, the vitamins that your body needs, so that even if you do have to, you know, you're eating, you know, the pork that's got the ractopamine, or you're eating the soy that's been genetically modified, at least you're giving your body a fighting chance, hey? Like at least you've got something to kind of kick it back with. What do you think, Mike?
I think you're right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to double my intake of my nutrients, and at the same time, I'm going to eat an extra 6 pounds of pork a day. And what I'm going to do is keep track of my findings, and I'll get back to you, Andrea, because I really think I can do it.
Please, please do not go like a triple baconator. I'll see you in the hospital after your heart attack.
Bacon. Andrea, have you ever read the Hippocratic Oath?
No, I haven't. I remember you mentioning it before, but what is it again?
Well, I mean, it's you know, people think it's do no harm, right? But it's actually, there's a long version of it, and I'm just going to, I'd like to read a little bit of it, right? Just a couple spots. With regard to healing the sick, I will devise and order for them the best diet according to my judgment and means, and I will take care that they suffer no hurt or damage. Now, in the last 10 minutes, anybody listening to this show, how many times have you heard Andrea make reference to diet and the things you eat? Okay? Our current medical model does not do that. You know, they don't spend a whole lot of time on what you eat. Andrea's not a doctor. Okay, she's a mom. She really cares about her kids, and she wants to see her family healthy. And she makes frequent references to diet. That's what she's looking at. That's what she's interested in. Right? So, and I want to go on a little bit. Nor shall any man's entreaty prevail upon me to administer poison to anyone. Neither will I counsel any man to do so. Okay? I will never give poison to anyone. So that's another thing Andrea's gotten going for. She's talking about not giving poisonous drugs to people. She's into diet. According to the Hippocratic Oath, Andrea's more of a doctor than most of the MDs out there.
Well, thank you,
huh? Well, it's not me. It's Hippocrates. And so he goes on, I will devise and order for them the best diet. Oh, wait a minute. I already read that. Neither will I counsel any man to do so. Moreover, I will get no sort of medicine to any pregnant woman with a view to destroy the child. There's abortion right there. Hippocratic Oath. I will never do anything to hurt an unborn child. And I didn't say I had an opinion on it. But now I am. I do. I hate it. I think it's crap. I think it's garbage. I think if you're into abortion and you think that's a good option for anybody, I don't even want to know you, okay? So don't give people poisonous drugs. Don't do anything that's going to harm a child. And consult people to get the right diet, okay? So this is the right place here because that's what we're doing. And what's beautiful about it is that we're not doctors, okay? We're just like everybody else around us in our society. All we have is an interest, and, you know, we have a love for humanity. So, you know, Andrea, you keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job.
Thanks, Mike. You know, when you look up what is a poison, do you know what it says when you look up the definition of a poison? The substance that is capable of causing... Substance that is capable of causing the illness or death of a living organism when introduced or absorbed. Now, when you take that definition and then you look at some of the drugs the FDA has approved, some pharmaceutical drugs, and you look up their side effects, they cause illness. They can cause death. So the Hippocratic Oath is very hypocritical, or what's the word I'm looking for? They're hypocrites because they don't want to give poison, but that's exactly what they're doing. That's all they can do based on, you know,
yeah,
their...
Yeah, they're going against it in every way. They're going against the oath that they took in every way. But you notice how they've sanitized it from the public by, you know, you ask somebody on the street, what's the Hippocratic Oath? And most of them will look at you cross-eyed and drool, or the ones that think they know, they're going to say, do no harm. Yeah, it's three words. The whole oath, that's it. Do no harm, right? And that, you know, that I guess that covers everything, but it actually gets more specific.
Well, you know, when you go to the Johns Hopkins website about their, you know, modern version of the Hippocratic Oath, I just looked it up, and part of it says, I will prevent disease whenever I can for prevention if preferable to cure. So... Really, when it comes down to, you know, your medical doctor and, you know, the bottom dollar of what they're going to get paid for, if they cure something, well, they're out of a job. So it's preferable for them to just try and, you know, prevent it, but treat it, manage it. And that's the whole point. We don't want people to just manage the diseases they have. We want people to live with it and, you know, suffer. We want people to get better. heal their body, give their bodies what they need to heal. And that's my goal. I've seen it in my family and in myself, my friends, and I know it's possible. We just have to get people to believe that there's another option out there that works.
Well, that's just it. And you know what? I'm speaking to everybody out there. You are not too stupid to get rid of your own heartburn. You know, like, you're not. You're smart enough. I mean, to say that you need a medical license to get rid of heartburn is like saying that you need to be a mechanic to put air in a tire. It's that stupid. Or it's like saying that you need to be a Red Seal chef to make a sandwich. Like, seriously. If, you know, they want to regulate everything and make it so that, you know, you have to have a license or a permit or a... No. God created man. Man created government. And you have to know your place and you have to know their place. Otherwise, they're going to put you in the place that they want you to be in. Right? So you have to understand your rights and you have to stand up. And you have to take your own health with the right information into your hands. And the situation we got in this country, quite honestly, is because everybody's a bunch of cowards that leaves it to somebody else. Even when it comes to your own children, you'll let it.
Well,
you will leave their health care up to somebody else that has no vested interest.
Well, that's
why.
Harsh.
Why? Go on, Andrea. What were you gonna say?
Harsh, because you know I've only been taking supplementing for the last couple of years. But before that, I don't think I was a coward. I just didn't know. And I can say I was ignorant. I didn't really think that alternative medicine, to me, it always had this negative connotation that it was lesser or lower. I didn't realize that it's just a different piece of the pie when it comes to medical science. So I don't think people are cowards. I think they don't know. They're not exposed to the information that we now have, that we've sourced and we've looked into and we want to understand more of. So that's our job. Our job is not to... in my opinion, you know, belittle people and say they're cowards, but to just, you know what, they don't know, so let's tell them, let's inform them. People call in, ask questions, tell
them. Well, I'm not belittling people, I'm belittling cowards, you know, because there's only certain people that can take the right information and actually do something with it.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm not belittling everybody, don't get me wrong.
Okay, good. Well, I have to, you know, argue with you sometimes. I can't agree with everything you say, Mike.
You'll always be wrong, but I appreciate that you try.
I'll get the women on my side. No, well, you know what? Our show is almost at a close. Mike, any final thoughts for the day?
Yeah, you know what? Here's my point. You know what? Use your God-given brain. Stand on your own 2 feet as a man or a woman or, you know, just any adult out there. Look for the right information. It's out there. I found it. Andrea found it. A whole lot of people around me found it, and you can too. And you know how you're going to know when you found it? Is when it actually works. When you get over health problems, when your kids get better, when you get better. You know, if you can figure out how to get over lupus, if you can figure out how to cut back on your diabetes medication or your blood pressure medication, that means that you have found the right information. And if I'm a little bit harsh in the way I come across, too bad. You got to find something that works. Okay? You have to find something that works. And if you haven't found something that works, then, you know, find something that works. I mean, how much more plain could I be? It's out there. We want to help you.
Oh, that's perfect. And you know what? Next week, we're going to be here again, Mondays at 7 o'clock Mountain Standard Time for our weekly radio show, New Current Events. And people that call in and send testimonials, please call us. If you stay with us, if you go to northernwellness.tv, we're going to have a live video presentation about a business opportunity of how you can gain your health and your wealth at the same time. So thank you again for joining us. Come back next week. But if you can stick around, head over to northernwellness.tv for a live video presentation about longevity and their supplement products. Thanks so much again, guys.
Thanks for listening in on Northern Wellness Health.
Andrea, it was great doing the show with you.
A politically incorrect, hard-hitting health talk radio show for Canadians. We discuss environmental, political, human rights, economic, scientific, and social justice issues, Mondays at 7 p.m. Mountain Standard Time.